Perched on the side of a mountain surrounded by dense forest is the remote village of Chendebji. It's so isolated that up until 7 years ago, children here spent less than half an hour at school each day because without electricity, the village couldn't afford to pay for the kerosene needed to light the classroom. Now the village has electricity, but daily life has changed very little in centuries.
I've come up into Tandon Sharing's house, who's the village leader here, and we come out onto the balcony. And looking out over the village, I can see pristine virgin forest, the most extraordinary trees. And the villagers claim that in these forests are tigers, leopards, wild boar, bears, and even the yeti.
I saw the footprints of the yeti for the first time when I was 18 years old. It was during the winter and there was heavy snowfall. I had taken my cattle to the mountains to graze, just about half an hour from our village. I also saw his body marks on the snow. The footprints are so huge, measuring almost a foot long.
Norbu is a young farmer in Chendebji. He's the most recent person in the village to have spotted evidence of the yeti, or the migoi as it's known locally. Sightings like his are particularly common among village elders, like Pem Dorji, who was just a child when she had her encounter.
Once I had gone high up in the mountains to collect dry leaves for the cattle. That was soon after a heavy snowfall which lasted for almost 9 nights. The yeti must have come down trying to escape the snow.
Even though it was more than 60 years ago, Pem says she can remember the fear those footprints struck in her heart.
On seeing the footprints, I was very scared. I didn't collect the dry leaves and instantly rushed back home. I couldn't stay there for a moment. When I returned home, my parents were quite disappointed to see me return empty-handed. I explained to them that I saw footprints of the yeti, which were very fresh, as if the yeti had walked past in the morning. I told them I was very scared and ran down home.
Are you sure it couldn't have been the footprint of a lion or a tiger or a bear?
No. It was not the footprints of other animals. When I described the footprints to my father, he said the footprints were of the yeti. He explained to me that yeti's feet are pointed backwards, unlike the feet of the humans, which are pointed forward.
Folklore has it that the yeti is a phenomenally strong ape-like creature with supernatural powers, such as the ability to become invisible, leaving just its backward-pointing footprints in the snow as proof of its existence. Norbu thinks it's also an incredibly intelligent creature.
The second time I saw the evidence of the yeti was when I was 23 years old. I had taken my cattle to graze in the mountains in September. The yeti had broken many bamboo trees and made a nestling place for itself, like a den.
He's now getting up and taking his straw and showing us exactly how the den was made.
He had broken many bamboo trees and folded them into a semicircular shape, with the two edges of the bamboo in the ground. He had then slept inside the den. I could see the marks left by the yeti inside the nest.
But how do you know that wasn't a human who'd done that?
No, people could not have made it. It was peak winter and people don't stay in the mountains, so it is not possible that the people could have made the nest. Yetis are very smart, intelligent animal because it knows how to make the shed from bamboos to protect itself from the heavy snow.
Having heard all these stories, I'm keen to know exactly where it is that they've seen the yeti.
Can we go into the forest? There's a lot of animated talk about whether we can go into the forest. Yes? We can go?
Yes.
It seems to provoke a lot of excitement when you talk about the yeti here. So I'm going down a very steep wooden ladder. So this way, leading up into the mountain, we're going to go and have a look at real yeti territory. Think up through the village. And on each of the houses, there are paintings of mythological beasts. And you really do feel like this is yeti country. So we're just coming up through a little forest path. You can hear the cuckoo. And I can smell the most beautiful flowers, yellow flowers. And as we're heading up into the mountain, there are prayer flags all along the way. And there's a lady coming towards us with a big basket on her back, full of wood and clay.
At the very top of the village, we come to a pass from which you can see several high peaks. Here, Karma Shering shows me where he saw the Yeti's footprints when he was a boy.
You see those clouds hovering around top of the mountains? There's a grazing ground for cattle. We have to walk beyond that point to see the footprints of the Yeti, especially in winter months. And towards this side, we have to cross the hill and reach the end of the mountain. And this path will take us to the other valley. And that's also where we can see the footprints of the Yeti.
Really? So all around us, basically, in this mountain range, right at the top up there, that's where the Yeti is.
The Yeti doesn't cross the mountains to this side because there are human settlements and dogs. The Yeti prefers to stay beyond those mountains where there is snow.
What do you think the Yeti looks like?
According to the stories that I've heard from my parents and grandparents, the Yeti's hair is similar to that of a monkey, while his feet and hands are more like ours, but very huge. The Yeti is also said to have long, thick hair that comes down as far as his chest. One time, the third king of Bhutan is said to have led an exploration team to search the Yeti. That time, the king is said to have told the people that if they come across the Yeti, they must run downwards because the Yeti won't be able to see because of his long hair would cover its eyes, obstructing his vision. But if you run upwards towards the mountain, its hair would fall back and easily catch the men.
Do any of your ancestors, do they remember anyone actually being attacked by a Yeti?
We don't have stories of the Yeti attacking animals or people here in this village. But we have heard stories of how Yeti attacked people in the east. A group of men had gone into the mountains to look for a particular tree. One man was left behind when the Yeti chased them. He hid himself in a small house used for meditation. The Yeti is said to have destroyed the house, bringing down the walls of the house. The Yeti didn't eat the man, but he was brutally killed. All his body parts were dismembered and thrown away.
You're 71 now, Karma. Do you think that you'll go and see a Yeti footprint again?
I'm an old man, and I don't think I have the strength to climb even that small hill. There is no way I can walk high up there in the mountains.
Karma and Pem may be the last generation of villagers to see evidence of the Yeti, because times are slowly beginning to change in Chendebji, says Norbu. The advent of electricity and education and a shift away from rearing animals as a way of life to growing crops mean fewer people are going to the mountains to graze their livestock.
We haven't gone to the mountains for over two decades now, and we are really not sure if the Yeti would still be there.
Do you hope that one day someone will spot the Yeti and take a photograph of it and prove that it really does exist?
Perhaps some people may be able to take a photograph of the Yeti in the future, but right now I don't think that would be possible. For us, the local communities and the Bhutanese at large, I think it would be a matter of great worry because the Yeti has always been an animal that has never been seen in the physical form, and I think it should remain that way. It is a mythical creature after all.